Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I'm here.
And Chris is here as well.
I am. I'm sat in a green wicker chair.
Beautiful, baby. Now, the power of love is a curious thing. Makes one man weep and makes another man sing, as Huey Lewis once said. The pursuit of love doesn't always go the way we want it to. And when it doesn't, my goodness, there's no low quite like it. Today, we're answering the question, how do you deal with a broken heart?
Well, I feel like I'm a bit of a heartbreak veteran.
I thought you were going to say a bit of a heartbreaker. That's a very, very, dare I say, arrogant start to the podcast from Sarah.
Can you imagine?
Very uncaring start. Oh, yeah. I've trampled on loads in my time.
Yeah. I know how to create the problem. I don't know how to resolve it.
No, I can safely say I'm not a heartbreaker. Okay. No, I've been through my fair share of heartbreak. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I am lovely, I promise. Like, you know, I'm a catch.
Yeah.
Don't use this
as a vehicle. And you are currently in a relationship.
I am in a relationship, so. Exactly. Yeah. I've been through a few quite bad ones over the years. I went through one last year, which actually happily we ended up getting back together, which was great. But I think I've done the unhealthy and the slightly healthier breakup. So I feel qualified to comment on this one.
There's a smorgasbord of breakups that you're going to draw from.
Exactly. A rich and varied history.
Yeah.
So first up, it's the biggest cliche ever, but it is so, so true that time really does heal. And I really think it's not very nice to hear that, you know, when you're 3 days in and can't stop crying or whatever, can't stop eating
you
McDonald's.
Can't speed time up.
Exactly. And and people say like, oh, you know, time heals, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, but I want to be okay now. But actually, you have to give it time, especially if it's been a relationship of, you know, a long-term relationship. You need time. You're not going to just immediately forget about a person who you spent all that time with, who you loved or anything like that.
There are ways of doing that, Sarah, and perhaps we'll map them out later, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, okay.
That'll be under the banner of unhelpful advice.
Yeah. I'm just glad you've not gone for alcohol again, Sarah.
Well, hey, you know what? I've certainly been guilty of that, and I know it's tempting, but if you can, I mean, you know, sure, everyone wants to, you know, have a few drinks and forget about the problems, but just don't go too overboard. I don't want to be the boring person.
Isn't that always
here.
The advice? Isn't that an advice for any situation?
It is, but especially because when your emotions are really, really raw, you're gonna send a text you regret or make a phone call you regret. I say this as a veteran.
Yeah, as a blanket rule, don't go on the binge.
Exactly.
Okay, people, cry out loud, listeners. We've been telling you this for so long now. but do invite us to your next do when lockdown is over. Chris, what would you immediately come in with for that question? How do you deal with a broken heart?
Admit that it's broken. As a man who had a broken engagement when I was 23, I foolishly said to myself, Chris, you've got 2 days to get over this and then get on with the rest of your life. So I just didn't deal with it.
Two days?
I'm not laughing at people in
that situation.
I know Chris, he's now happily
married.
He's
just laughing at me.
Dear and great friend of mine, et cetera, et cetera. But I just, that's brilliant, that thinking.
I admire the
gall of it.
Thank you. I'm using my name as well. I think I don't know why. I just thought, get on with your life. Don't mourn. That's the worst thing to do because you are in grief. I think it's good to acknowledge you're in grief.
Why did you think 2 days? Why not give yourself even just a week would be bad enough?
I have limited patience.
Was it a weekend? Was it essentially a weekend?
It probably was. Happened on a Friday and I was like, right, Monday is a new week, new you. The truth is I didn't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So I just thought, don't stew in that. And that's wrong. And I think in hindsight, it was, I was going through grief because actually this life that I thought I was going to have has died. Mm. All my hopes and thoughts and dreams of life with this other person were gone. And I was too young to know how to deal with it. So definitely admit that your heart is broken. That's a big thing. Don't try and pretend like it's not. And then start to kind of, I guess, work your way through grief as best you can. Mm-hmm. But I would honestly say I did not process it for 7 years, and that was hugely damaging to me.
7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Blimey. 7 years. So 23, 30, I started to actually acknowledge that it affected me and how I then engaged in other relationships and how I'd treated relationships. You'd either date people that I didn't think would go the distance, and that was a safe place because I didn't want it to, because I was scared of getting to that point again. Mm. Or I would date people, and then if I started to fall for them, I would just be consumed by fear because I'd be scared of it. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get hurt again. Mm. But this is all subconscious, by the way. Like, it's not like I was thinking it through.
Yeah, hindsight's a great thing.
Well, that's I mean, I find that, you know, I mean, I obviously know a bit of this, haven't been good friends with you for a while, but anybody who knew you as I did, it's remarkable because you're very, and you still are, but these things, but you're a very sort of together, what would be the sort of, you know, you're a damn fine gentleman, essentially. And there's no obvious signs of this, if you see what I mean. You never displayed any kind of dysfunctionality or anything like that.
No, I hid it well. I bottled it up, Marcus. I told you that.
I was always trying to let the cork out of that bottle, but you never let me. I jest, of course. But
I'm sure you're part of my journey.
No, but I do. I think we all very much appreciate you. And you, Sarah, of course, opening up there. But it is quite remarkable what you're saying there. I mean, breaking off an engagement is a big one, and Sarah, you said yourself, you know, obviously depends on the length of the relationship, the kind of how intense and whatnot, because of course if you're talking about marriages and so on, you bring children and all that kind of stuff, it's different. Yeah. But I mean, our experiences are the sort of the dating, Chris, yours with being engaged is perhaps the most kind of extreme, if you like, for want of a better word. According to some studies, it takes roughly 11 weeks or 3 months on average for a person to feel more positive about their breakup. Not necessarily get over it, but more positive. Obviously, that depends on a number of factors. Sarah, you're sort of nodding. Do you find that a bit of truth?
Yeah, I can. So I've heard that 11 weeks number before, although I've also heard a much more depressing statistic, which I'm not sure I'd do by, but someone said it's half the time you were in the relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Which,
well, Chris just said 7 years.
Feels a bit much.
I've had 2 4-year relationships, you know, in that didn't last. Gosh, they've taken 2 years to get over each one.
That's a long, I suppose, time, you do have it? To sort of take it on. You know, relationships are different, aren't they? But I think that's the slight distinction, isn't it? We're not saying get over it. We're saying this 11 weeks is to feel more positive. And yeah, I'd say that's fair because, like, as Chris, as you said, you are going through mourning, and I do think, you know, there's the whole stages of grief thing. I think I could probably identify those specific stages in that. So 11 weeks feels like a good amount to kind of have mourned and then kind of, right, it is time to start just trying to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't like positive because I feel like positive is a bit overdone in, like, our society at the moment. Like, oh, you've just got to be positive, got to be upbeat. And it's not like forcing it, but it is just kind of like, right, it is gone, it is over. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Yeah. How do I be positive and upbeat? It's all very well.
Yeah. I think that's quite accurate. I remember figuring this out in my own head that it would take, I would always say to people, if you've been in a long-term relationship, and I would class that as mate, I'm going to say over a year, then I would always think it would take 3 months in my own mind for me to stop saying, yeah, but I loved that person, or yeah, but we were together. Like, actually, so after 3 months, I'd start to feel like, okay, well, it is done now. But it almost took 3 months for those, because we always have these conversations in our brain. Mm-hmm. And it would take, it would take 3 months for that to stop happening.
Yeah.
But at least you, even having that 11-week, 3 months sort of threshold, at least you know it will stop. That's the hard thing, was, as you said, if you're at the start of it and people say it takes time, you're right, Sarah, because you have to go through these stages and you sometimes can't rush that. It's interesting though, because
sorry,
I was going to say, on the depth of relationship, that One of my hardest breakups ever was with someone I only dated for 3 months.
Yeah.
It was like, it was really intense. I mean, we did work together. That probably didn't help either. And so you're faced with them every day, all day, every day. But yeah, so it's not always on the longevity of it. However, that's usually the case. But yeah, definitely one of my worst ones was working with someone. Oh, that was horrible.
And this maybe sort of feeds into something that I might believe in, and you both or one of you may disagree. I tend to think that, like most things, men and women come at this at different angles. I tend to think, and it's just a sort of a general, typical kind of breakup. Obviously, it depends who's done the breaking up, of course. But I think women want to make sure the guy's okay, and like almost like say, I want to stay friends, and I want to stay friends, and I don't, yeah. I want to make sure that actually there is no bad. And let's just go back to what it was before. Men are like, ha, I want to get the hell out of this situation. See you later, everybody.
I would absolutely say, from personal experience and from the experience of many of good friends of mine,
yeah,
I think it's absolutely possible to be friends with an ex, but you need to spend some time apart first. Have that grieving time, come to accept that you're not in a relationship anymore, then you can become friends. Do not try to stay friends from day one of the breakup. It will not work. It will end up in tears. Please don't do it. Please.
Do you not think it also depends the status you had with that person before? Because if you were friends with them before and then you kind of, you just, it merged into, I'm not going against what you said about the time. I mean the kind of the whole thing. Because if I didn't know the person beforehand and I met them and I knew them as a girlfriend and an ex-girlfriend, I don't see this. I obviously there's a level of sort of friendship. Like, I'm not saying you be a knob to that person or you sort of dismiss it. But there's no way that I'm kind of like any part of me wants to cross paths with them. You know, if it's kind of unavoidable or it sort of kind of happens, yeah, fine. But I won't intentionally cross paths with that person, if you see what
I think, like, for me, it would be that kind of thing of, like, I love spending time with them so much. And, you know, we have this great chemistry, this great rapport, that it feels like it's even worse that I am completely losing them. So, yeah. Like, I have felt in the past. And as I say, I would say just don't do this in the future. But that thing of being like, well, if I can't have you as my partner, can I at least have you as a friend? And yeah, as I say, I think it's perfectly possible further down the line, but just...
Is this just reinforce what Marcus has just said there?
Yeah, massively.
Guy, like, chaps are like, no, I can't. Maybe because we just can't deal with the complex emotions. Like, we're just like, I can't deal with this.
There's a lot of factors here. I'm talking very, very generally. I hasten to add.
Yeah.
But I would say, Sarah, that the loss of friendship can be difficult to deal with because...
Yeah.
You sort of think to yourself, I sort of miss hanging out with that person.
Yeah.
You might do as well. Even if it's, I've heard one or two people say, I almost, and they say this in the sort of nicest possible way, not in a sort of a humbuggy, bitter way, but they say, I almost wish I didn't go out with them in a sense because I really liked the friendship I had before, if you see what I mean. And they find, and again, circumstances and factors are different, da, 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 da. It's sort of very, very complex.
I was going to say, I totally agree. There's definitely, I'm thinking of, I had quite a busy dating life prior to, in my 20s. And definitely two people I dated, I would definitely think, it's such a shame that we did, because they, you know, were hilarious and they were good company and very insightful and all these sort of things. And there's part of me every now and then is like, oh, it's a shame that we're not friends now. And we definitely did the whole, well, we should stay friends. And I guess we did for a bit, but then ultimately, you know, one starts to date someone else, or maybe they do, and then their people's partners feel slightly uncomfortable with that friendship. And and you ultimately then have to make a choice of, like, who am I going to choose here? And it really, as much as we don't want it to be, it is a choice. Am I going to choose this new person that I'm investing my life and relationship in? Or am I going to stay connected to this old relationship, which isn't really going to go anywhere?
I think there does have to be a certain element of sort of untethering from that person. And as I said, you know, yeah. I do think you can be friends with an ex after a certain amount of time has passed. But I think you really have to remove those certain attachments of like any romantic feeling, any of that sort of thing, and any kind of, if there's even a little bit of hope in your brain of maybe actually one day, no, it's just not. Like, you have to be very clear about where those kind of, where you're still linked, because otherwise, as you say, Chris, it can just end up getting a bit.
Well, I just think, why would you, again, I say this in the sort of the nicest possible way, but I say it in a kind of, I think I'm trying to sort of be wise about this. I just sort of think, unless you were friends beforehand, or they go to the same, you know, for me, the same church, perhaps, or, you know, like I say, this is not me saying...
Or a colleague.
Colleague in your... Yeah. You know, this is not like, you know, blank them out of your life, you know, walk across the road if you see them coming, destroy, you know, any... I'm not saying anything like that. This is not in a bitter way. It's a kind of a... Actually, if that person, you met them and you know them in that kind of relationship and then it's broken off, I just sort of think, yeah, it's done. Like, that's, you know... Yeah. There we are. Like, I don't see. There's nothing for me to kind of really gain anything from this now. And like I say, if I walk into a room and they're there, I will always greet them warmly. How you doing, etc., etc. But I'm not going to say, well, let's meet up, or you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why don't you enter my circle of friends again, or why don't you do that? I think most of the time I would say that's probably unwise. To be honest.
You would say that you've not necessarily been through heartbreak in that way, wouldn't you, Marcus?
No, a tough guy like me doesn't do things like that, Chris. Yeah.
But do you think that's because you are quite, I guess, in a way, matter of fact, like, okay, well, this didn't work out for whatever reasons. I need to move forward instead of them. Like, are you quite logical? Would you be quite logical?
That's quite logical.
I'm definitely emotionally, I was very emotionally driven.
Yeah. No,
instead of logically driven.
Well, like. I'd say I was more emotionally driven generally, but it's sort of been instilled in me that you have to have that kind of element of logic. No, to begin with, I've been very fortunate in that any breakups I've had have not been an engagement or something like that, which is, as I say, much more extreme, Chris. And you were obviously, you know, only 23. Some people do get married at 23, but I think relatively speaking, or generally speaking, whichever disclaimer I should put in there, that is quite young.
I'd say though, I grew up not in a city, and actually not in a city. A lot of my friends were kind of already settled or in
well,
either long-term
true.
Relationships or engaged and things like that. So I think, again, you know, not to be just argumentative, but I think it depends on your context, doesn't
it?
And definitely where I come from, like, you know, a village in Devon, it was, or a town in Devon, one of my best friends is happily married to his wife, who they dated from they were 14 or 15 with two kids and stuff. Like, it was more common there. I remember when I moved to London, I was like, gosh, it's very uncommon for people to be so tied down, for want of a better phrase, to at such an early time. So
that's fair. I think on one particular relationship, it was like came out of the blue. I'm always the one that gets dumped.
I've also been the dumped.
Yeah, I've never been the dumper.
The dumper.
I've always been the dumpy.
I've been both.
Yeah, I've done the whole thing. But I think again, this is years ago. This is why I can look back and sort of chuckle about it, because I don't think it really left a scar particularly. I just think it was one of those things, you know, that kind of happens. And I think that, you know, when you begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, you go, oh, okay, we're going to be all right here. You've just got to batten down the hatches and kind of, you know, go through it. But also, you've got to make wise decisions. I think after a breakup, maybe not straight after, but whether when you're completely out of the woods, or whether you can, you know, the light is getting brighter at the end of the tunnel, to use those kind of cliches, I think it should lead to you sharpening your own mind and focusing on what you want in your next partner.
I agree so strongly with that, because one of the things that I know a number of my friends, especially kind of as you start to get a bit older, people have said like, well, I've just wasted 4 years of my life. And it's like, no, it wasn't a waste. It's not a waste.
I agree
with
that.
You learned things.
Yeah.
You learned things about what you want in a relationship, and you learn things about yourself And then once you go through that breakup process, that's also a learning experience.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I think there are certain things that one can do to give yourself a good chance. Yeah. Do not check up with them on social media, for crying out loud. Don't do yourself
a
favor.
Be kind. Like this, I think, Mark, and this is part of what you're getting to about making good choices.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And imagine that you are one of your best friends, and if one of your best friends was saying, "Yeah, I looked at his Facebook like 17 times yesterday," you'd be saying, "Come on, come on, you are not being kind to yourself here. You are only hurting yourself."
Yeah. I remember one thing I did do, which was super helpful after one relationship, which people can't do right now. Actually, taking a holiday. You can go on holiday with some friends or some loved ones. I remember, I've never done it before, but I did after one particular breakup.
18 to 30, Ibiza, come on, yeah!
We went road trip around California. What was amazing was not just like, it was just taking myself out of the space.
Yep.
And the headspace of, like, as you said, Sarah, like, you know, you mourn the loss of them. Like, you know, last time I went down the street, I was with that person. Or when I went to the cinema last, I was with that person. But actually to be in a new space and just get, like, I don't know, just kind of like blew the cobwebs away a bit. And you can kind of move forward a bit as well.
That that element of kind of newness, I think, is really, really important. And one of the things I would encourage people to do is I'm a big list maker. I love making lists. Make lists of things that you can do now. So even if it's like cooking dishes that they didn't like, you can book a holiday to a place that they, you know, I always wanted to go on a beach holiday and they always wanted to go mountain climbing or whatever. Move house. Go and live somewhere you always wanted to live. Get a pet. Like,
do you need quite a lot of money for this, by the way?
These are all quite big. Like, but, you know, for example, the cooking thing. It's this thing of trying to be like, you know, yeah, I have lost some great stuff and I'm very sad about it. But actually, what can I do now that I couldn't do before? Because being in a relationship is amazing. It's wonderful. But there are some positives to being single.
So what you're saying is that if you've just experienced a breakup, make lists, not love.
The issue, though, Sarah, I'm going to come back against this a bit, is that sometimes if you've been in certain relationships, you might not even know what you like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. If you can you can become so consumed in that other person or that relationship, you can completely go, I actually don't even know what food I like anymore. Yeah. Because every time I went shopping, I was getting their thing. So even that can take time to figure out, who the heck am I and what do I actually even want?
And I think I would say to that, it's to treat it almost, I can't think of like a non-cringy way of saying it, but like,
go on.
It's almost like dating yourself. Like, it's getting to know yourself.
Oh, there
again.
It is.
Sorry, I knew I was going to say it, and I was trying to stop myself.
I knew one of you was going to say, you know what, you need to date yourself for a bit. I thought, which one is it going to be?
But what I mean is, it's getting to know those things. And like, Chris, like you said, like, you've spent so long thinking about someone else and catering to their needs. It's actually going, hold on, what do I like? What films do I want to watch? Like, what do I want to cook for dinner?
But also, don't feel guilty if you end up going to a default, which would be, I'm going to have a chicken on a Sunday, because that's what we always had. Because also, you can beat yourself up about that and go, oh, I'm not even myself anymore. I don't even know. And
it's
just,
really,
as you said, be kind to yourself. Some days you're going to do really, really well and, you know, go for, I don't know, a curry because they always wanted a Chinese. Or some days you're not. You're just going to go back to your default as well.
But you both do think that jumping into a rebound relationship with a very sexy person is a good idea.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know what? Actually, that reminds me, I would say, is please, I think I... stereotypically, this is more of a girl's thing, but I'm sure boys do it too. Please stay away from rom-coms. Don't watch rom-coms. Preferably for most of the time, but definitely not in the first few weeks. It will just make you upset. I would say, find yourself a really good box set that's like really gripping. Maybe it's like a crime thing or something. But please stay away from the rom-coms.
Yeah, don't do that. As you say, just in general, but yeah, specifically on this time, don't do that.
It's not good for you.
I used to bounce from relationship to relationship, so that's why I laughed when you said that. Because it, but and then like,
used to call him the bouncer.
Because I just didn't process what it was. I used to obviously find my affirmation from other people, and you know, if you do what Sarah says and date yourself, then
no,
actually you start to learn.
Don't tie this to me.
Well, you did say it.
Oh,
so.
I hate myself for this. What have I done?
Just take yourself for a coffee and a bun.
Oh,
no, but like, it's good to process, as you said, Marcus, like sharpen yourself, like, okay, you know, who am I? What, you know, what do I want from life? All these things. Also, where did I go wrong? Where maybe did I give up of myself too much and I shouldn't have done? Like, it's good to process this. One thing that I always talk to people who are going through a hard time with romantic breakups is we often, I believe, lies about ourselves in our brain. And it's really important to speak them out to people who are going to tell you their lies. So one lie will be that you will never love again. Yep. Or that you're not worthy of good people, or you're not enough, is quite a common lie that will lodge itself in our brain and we don't even acknowledge it. Which I think probably we joked earlier about getting drunk, but we want to get out of our brain because it's not kind to us sometimes. And actually, exactly. By speaking that lie out to people who love and are good to you, they can tell you the truth, because I don't think you can listen to a lie when people are speaking the truth. So if the lie is I'm not good enough, and then, you know, a good friend or a, you know, a, whatever, a family member says, no, you are, and you are worthy of love, and I think everybody is worthy of love, then actually it starts to, I think we believe what we hear, right? So you hear something that then becomes a thought in your mind, which can then become a belief and an attitude and an action. But we need to hear the right stuff, and we need to be affirmed by good people who love us. So I would definitely say identify the lie and then speak the truth, which is you are worthy of love.
I definitely agree with that. And also I would say, speaking on from my experiences, is don't compare yourself to others. Don't think, well, that person, look, they're happily married with two children already, you know, I'm now back to square one, and all this kind of stuff. Everyone's path is different. Very cliche thing to say. Also, I can remember once when I just gone through a breakup, and like, everywhere I looked, just couples having a lovely time. Suddenly they're like, it's in technical, you know. And I remember I was with a mate of mine, and I was looking at this couple up in central London somewhere, and I was like, look at the state of him. How come he's with her? That's just ridiculous. Look at that. And he just went, all right, look, I think you're getting a little bit. I think your current mindset is kind of skewing you. And I was like, look at that. Nonsense. Get off her. You know, I was like,
she's fine. Thing is, there's no good season either, is there? Because in the summer, everybody's happily in love and you're not. And in the winter, you feel lonely because everybody's cozy and you're not. Like, again, these are lies that we believe. And it's good to just go, as you said, I'm on my track. I'm on my race.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm the only one who can run this one. And I'm not going to look into someone else's lane.
Mm. No, definitely. Also, some people sometimes obsess over their ex-partners and they remember them with rose-tinted spectacles, which is a distortion of your memory.
And again, time will help here.
Yes.
Further down the line, you will look back and you will go, no, they didn't treat me very well. And no, they weren't perfect. And maybe they weren't as sexy as I thought they were.
Or it didn't work. I mean, it takes two to tango. I mean, that I quite like that film, 500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
Which is worth a watch. I haven't watched it in years. If it's crap, sorry about that. It is a bit rom-commy, but, you know, there's an exception to every rule.
I think it holds up.
I think it might do as well. There's an absolute killer line in it when he's trying to. This is not a spoiler or anything, and if it is, up yours. You should have seen it by now. where he says, he's basically saying, no, but there's this is a great thing, and this is a great thing, and so on and so forth. And she said, yeah, but I don't feel the same way. I just don't quite get it. And the person I'm now with, they provide all that for me in the way you did, or something.
I think it's something like, I'm sure about them in a way I was never sure about you.
Yeah, it's a real concern, and it's an absolute killer. It is an absolute killer line.
We'll find the clip if we can, and we'll share.
Yeah, you're absolutely. That's it, Sarah. And you can't argue with that.
No.
You can't. You may think that you should be with that person, but it takes two to tango. Interesting. There's a psychologist called Guy Winch, as opposed to wench. And he has written a book which is called How to Fix a Broken Heart, which, you know,
perfect.
seems quite perfect to what we're doing here. And he says, you know, functional MRI brain scan studies have shown that the withdrawal of romantic love activates the same mechanisms in the brain that get activated when addicts go through withdrawal from substances like cocaine and opioids. So this is serious stuff. If you feel a bit crap, that's why. Don't beat yourself up as well.
I actually think that understanding some of that stuff, like the science around this, really helpful. When I went through my last breakup, I read a book called The Unexpected Joy of Being Single, which I really recommend if you're going through a breakup. It's by Catherine Gray. And that, it was talking about that, how like you are going through withdrawal. Like, there's a reason you feel this bad, and it's not because you're pathetic. Well, it's that you're actually having a terrible time.
We're made for and from love. We're wired for love. So it's very natural that when that's been taken from you, or you think it has, that you will have a physical reaction. I think everything in us is made to be part of community, part of loving relationships. So as you said, Sarah, you're normal if you kind of go through that. Oh,
completely.
It's fine.
I mean, Winch says, in other words, love is addictive and heartbreak causes us to go through powerful withdrawal. Robert Palmer, addicted to love, you see.
Yeah.
All makes sense in the end. But he also stumbles upon something quite interesting where he says, imagine if we treated broken hearts with the same respect and concern we have for broken arms.
Yeah.
I thought that was such an obvious and sort of eureka moment in one's mind. You know, we wouldn't expect someone to return to daily activities immediately after suffering a broken limb. The heartbroken people are expected to do that, function normally in their lives despite the emotional pain they feel. And emotional pain does lower a person's ability to reason and to problem solve and all these scientific things, as you say, Sarah. You know, you need the support. You need the support from the community, and also to give yourself a break and try and make the best decisions you can.
And using that analogy, as you just said, you know, if you broke a limb, you would go to some people for help. Mm. You would go and ask for help. You wouldn't try and deal with it on your own.
And you wouldn't do the things. You wouldn't run a marathon if you've got a broken leg. Oh, I'll be fine.
Exactly. And it's good to go to professionals for help. Like, it's okay if you've gone through a breakup to actually... you need counselling, go and get counselling. That's very normal for you to get the right type of help for the damage that you feel that you've got going on.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Really annoying. Mm. So, can I just add something, like a phrase I hate is that love hurts. Because love doesn't hurt. No. I think rejection hurts. Mm-hmm. I think being betrayed hurts. I think being let down hurts. Not having love reciprocated hurts. But love doesn't hurt, because love actually should make you feel safe. Love is good, it is kind, it's encouraging, it's very different. So again, don't confuse love with pain, because I think that's the problem for me, is often that people think with breakup love is a problem. No, love is a good force, but unfortunately that was taken away. So just differentiate between love and all those other things.
Absolutely. And hold on to the fact that when you're close to tears, remember someday it'll all be over. Join in one day.
I didn't know. I totally would have joined in had I known the song.
Bloody Lighthouse Family.
That is a great song. Listen to that if you've been through a breakup.
You're damn right. Yeah, damn bloody right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been a pleasure. I hope that's helped in some way or given you some advice for the future. Hopefully not. Let's all have a lovely time. Good luck. Yes, if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Insta and Twitter at AQQAPod. So get involved there. Please do give us a very, very lovely review indeed, if you so wish, your own decisions on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
See you next week.